Slutta the Goat by Isaac Bashevis Singer. Isaac Bashevis Singer, 1902 to 1991, is a Polish-born Jewish-American novelist and short story writer in Yiddish. He was born in Warsaw and named Isaac Hirsch Singer. He took a form of his mother's name, Bathsheba, later as his pen name, Bashevis. His father was a Hasidic rabbi, and during his adolescence, he was also trained for some time to follow the footsteps of his father, but he decided against it, expressing his preference to become a writer like his elder brother, Israel Joshua. He married Rune Ponch, but during the turbulent 30s, he migrated to New York City and got separated from his wife and son Israel Samir when they were forced to move to Russia and then to Palestine. In 1940, he married a German Jewish refugee, Alma Wasserman Niehemann. In 1925, he made his debut as a fiction writer with a short story, In Old Age. In the 1930s, he wrote short stories either as Bashevis or Warsowski. Though his first novel is Satan in Gore, 1935, it was The Family Musket, published in 1950, that made him famous. Besides his numerous short stories, his major works include novels such as The Slave, 1962, The Manor, 1967, and The Estate, 1969. Singer won Nobel Prize for Literature in 1978 for his impassioned narrative art, which, with roots in a Polish-Jewish cultural tradition, brings universal human condition to life. He died in Florida in 1991. Slutta the Goat, the titular work of Singer's 1966 publication. Slutta the Goat and Other Short Stories is a poignant story about the bond between human beings and animals. It is set around Hanukkah time in an unnamed Jewish settlement in Poland. Reuven, the farrier's family, consists of wife Leah, the eldest son Aaron, and two daughters, Anna and Miriam. The family falls on bad days as the winter has been slow and relatively mild, and there has been little need for a farrier's service. As a way out, Reuven decides on selling Slutta the Goat to Fevel, the butcher, which will fetch him 8 gulden to celebrate the Jewish festival. The job is entrusted to Aaron, who has to obey his father out of necessity. On the way, the weather turns worse. Aaron and Slutta are caught in a hailstorm. They lose the way and are trapped in a blizzard. Finally, both find shelter in a haystack, where Aaron finds sustenance from the god's milk. During the 3 days spent inside the haystack, Aaron and Slutta develop a special bond, where the boy begins to view the god not simply as his pet animal, but more like a sister. The unconditional trust of an animal in human beings, the seamless nature of the web of life that includes plants and animal kingdom. It was the hay that kept Slutta alive for 3 days, which in turn enabled her to feed Aaron with milk. The changing faces of landscape and weather are the major themes of the story. Text. At Hanukkah time, the road from the village to the town is usually covered with snow, but this year the winter has been a mild one. Hanukkah had almost come, yet little snow had fallen. The sun shone most of the time. The peasants had complained that because of the dry weather, there would be a poor harvest of winter grain. New grass sprouted, and the peasants sent their cattle out to pasture. For Reuven the farrier, it was a bad year, and after long hesitation, he decided to sell Slutta the Goat. She was old and gave little milk. Fuel, the town butcher, had offered 8 gulden for her. Such a sum would buy Hanukkah candles, potatoes and oil for pancakes, gifts for the children and other holiday necessaries for the house. Reuben told his oldest boy, Aaron, to take the goat to town. Aaron understood what taking the goat to Fuel meant, but he had to obey his father. Leah, his mother, wiped the tears from her eyes when she heard the news. Aaron's younger sisters, Anna and Miriam, cried loudly. Aaron put on his quilted jacket and a cap with earmuffs, bound a rope around Slata's neck, and took along 2 slices of bread with cheese to eat on the road. Aaron was supposed to deliver the goat by evening, spend the night at the butcher's, and return the next day with the money. While the family said goodbye to the goat and Aaron placed the rope around her neck, Slata stood as patiently and good-naturedly as ever. She licked Reuben's hand. She shook her small white bird. Slata trusted human beings. She knew that they always fed her and never did her any harm. When Aaron brought her out on the road to town, she seemed somewhat astonished. She would never been led in that direction before. She looked back at him questioningly, as if to say, "Where are you taking me?" But after a while, she seemed to come to the conclusion that a god shouldn't ask questions. Still, the road was different. They passed new fields, pastures, and huts with thatched roofs. Here and there, a dog barked and came running after them, but Aaron chased it away with his stick. The sun was shining when Aaron left the village. Suddenly, the weather changed. A large black cloud with a bluish center appeared in the east and spread itself rapidly over the sky. A cold wind blew in with it. The crows flew low, croaking. At first, it looked as if it would rain, but instead, it began to hail as in summer. It was early in the day, but it became dark as dusk. After a while, the hail turned to snow. In his 12 years, Aaron had seen all kinds of weather, but he had never experienced a snow like this one. It was too dense. It shut out the light of the day. In a short time, their path was completely covered. The wind became as cold as ice. The road to town was narrow and winding. Aaron no longer knew where he was. He could not see through the snow. The cold soon penetrated his quilted jacket. At first, Slata didn't seem to mind the change in weather. She too was 12 years old and knew what winter meant. But when her legs sank deeper and deeper into the snow, she began to turn her head and look at Aaron in wonderment. Her mild eyes seemed to ask, "Why are we out in such a storm?" Aaron hoped that a peasant would come along with his car, but no one passed by. The snow grew thicker, falling to the ground in large, whirling flakes. Beneath it, Aaron's boot touched the softness of a plowed field. He realized that he was no longer on the road. He had gone astray. He could no longer figure out which was east or west, which way was the village, the town. The wind whistled, howled, whirled the snow in eddies. It looked as if white imps were playing tag on the fields. A white dust rose above the ground. Slata stopped. She could walk no longer. Stubbornly, she anchored her cleft hooves in the earth and bleated as if pleading to be taken home. Icicles hung from her white beard and her horns were glazed with frost. Aaron did not want to admit the danger, but he knew just the same that if they did not find shelter, they would freeze to death. This was no ordinary storm. It was a mighty blizzard. The snowfall had reached his knees. His hands were numb and he could no longer feel his toes. He choked when he breathed. His nose felt like wood and he rubbed it with snow. Slatta's bleating began to sound like crying. Those humans in whom she had so much confidence had dragged into a trap. Aaron began to pray to God for himself and for the innocent animal. Suddenly, he made out the shape of a hill. He wondered what it could be. Who had piled snow into such a huge heap? He moved toward it, dragging Slatta after him. When he came near it, he realized that it was a large haystack with the snow had blanketed. Aaron realized immediately that they were saved. With great effort, he dug his way through the snow. He was a village boy and knew what to do. When he reached the hay, he hollowed out a nest for himself and the goat. No matter how cold it may be outside, in the hay it is always warm. And it was food for Slatta. The moment she smelled it, she became contented and began to eat. Outside, the snow continued to fall. It quickly covered the passageway Aaron had dug. But a boy and an animal need to breathe, and there was hardly any air in their hideout. Aaron bored a kind of a window through the hay and snow and carefully kept the passage clear. Slatta, having eaten her fill, sat down on her hind legs and seemed to have regained her confidence in man. Aaron ate his two slices of bread and cheese, but after the difficult journey, he was still hungry. He looked at Slatta and noticed that her udders were full. He lay down next to her, placing himself so that when he milked her, he could squirt the milk into his mouth. It was rich and sweet. Slatta was not accustomed to being milked that way, but she did not resist. On the contrary, she seemed eager to reward Aaron for bringing her to shelter whose very walls, floor and ceiling were made of wood. Through the window, Aaron could catch a glimpse of chaos outside. The wind carried before it drifts of snow. It was completely dark and he did not know whether night had already come or whether it was the darkness of the storm. Thank God that in the hay it was not cold. The dried hay, grass and field flowers exuded the warmth of the summer sun. Slatta ate frequently. She nipped from above, below, from the left and the right. Her body gave forth an animal warmth and Aaron cuddled up to her. He had always loved Slatta, but now she was like a sister. He was alone, cut off from his family and wanted to talk. He began to talk to Slatta. "Slatta, what do you think about what has happened to us?" he asked. "Ma," Slatta answered. "If we hadn't found this stack of hay, we both would frozen still by now," Aaron said. "Ma," was the god's reply. "If the snow keeps on falling like this, we may have to stay here for days," Aaron explained. "Ma," Slatta bleated. "What does Ma mean?" Aaron asked. "You'd better speak up clearly." "Ma, Ma," Slatta tried. "Well, let it be Ma then," Aaron said patiently. "You can't speak, but I know you understand. I need you and you need me. Isn't that right, Ma?" Aaron became sleepy. He made a pillow out of some hay, leaned his head on it and dozed off. Slatta too fell asleep. When Aaron opened his eyes, he didn't know whether it was morning or night. The snow had blocked up his window. He tried to clear it, but when he had bored through to the length of his arm, he still hadn't reached the outside. Luckily, he had his stick with him and was able to break through to the open air. It was still dark outside. The snow continued to fall and the wind wailed, first with one voice and then with many. Sometimes it had the sound of the devilish laughter. Slatta too awoke, and when Aaron greeted her, she answered, "Ma." Yes, Slatta's language consisted of only one word, but it meant many things.
Now, she was saying, we must accept all that God gives us, heat, cold, hunger, satisfaction, light and darkness. Aaron had awakened hungry. He had eaten up his food, but Slatta had plenty of milk. For 3 days, Aaron and Slatta stayed in the haystack. Aaron had always loved Slatta, but in these 3 days, he loved her more and more. She fed him with warm milk and helped keep him warm. She comforted him with her patience. She told her many stories and she always cocked her ears and listened. When he patted her, she licked his hand and his face. Then she said, Ma, and he knew it meant, I love you too. The snow fell for 3 days, though after the first day it was not as thick and the wind quieted down. Sometimes Aaron felt that there could never had been a summer, that the snow had always fallen ever since he could remember. He, Aaron, never had a father or mother or sisters. He was a snow child, born of the snow, and so was Slatta. It was so quiet in the hay that his ears rang in the stillness. Aaron and Slatta slept all night and a god part of the day. As for Aaron's dream, they were all about warm weather. He dreamed of green fields, trees covered with blossoms, clear brooks and singing birds. By the third night, the snow had stopped. But Aaron did not dare to find his way home in the darkness. The sky became clear and the moon shone, casting silvery nets on the snow. Aaron dug his way out and looked at the world. It was all white, quiet, dreaming dreams of heavenly splendor. The stars were large and close. The moon swam in the sky as in a sea. On the morning of the fourth day, Aaron heard the ringing of sleigh bells. The haystack was not far from the road. The peasant who drove the sleigh pointed out the way to him, not to the town and fuel the butcher, but home to the village. Aaron had decided in the haystack that he would never part with Slatta. Aaron's family and their neighbors had searched for the boy and the god, but had not found no trace of them during the storm. They feared they were lost. Aaron's mother and sisters cried for him. His father remained silent and gloomy. Suddenly, one of the neighbors came running to their house with the news that Aaron and Slatta were coming up the road. There was great joy in the family. Aaron has told them how he had found the stack of hay and how Slatta had fed him with her milk. Aaron's sisters kissed and hugged Slatta and gave her a special treat of chopped carrots and potato peels, which Slatta gobbled up hungrily. Nobody ever again thought of selling Slatta, and now that the cold weather had finally set in, the villagers needed the service of Reuben the farrier once more. When Hanukkah came, Aaron's mother was able to fry pancake every evening and Slatta got her own portion too. Even though Slatta had her own pen, she often came to the kitchen knocking on the door with her horns to indicate that she was ready to visit, and she was always admitted. In the evening, Aaron, Miriam and Anna played dreidel. Slatta sat near the stove watching the children and the flickering of the Hanukkah candles. Once in a while, Aaron would ask her, Slatta, do you remember the 3 days we spent together? And Slatta would scratch her neck with a horn, shake her white bird head and come out with a single sound which expressed all her thoughts and all her love.